Given everything that's happened, Bob, it was quite a surprise to see that after almost 2 years, Planned Parenthood in El Paso has begun offering abortion services once again.
Yeah, especially in the political context in Texas, obviously. But just to, as a reminder, El Paso has not had an abortion provider since March of 2020 when the pandemic set in. Planned Parenthood stopped providing abortions then because it was having difficulty getting doctors to come here, and another clinic that provided abortions in El Paso suddenly closed. So as this debate's been raging in Texas over Senate Bill 8 and the extreme restrictions on abortion access, it's really been more of an academic exercise in El Paso because the city hasn't had abortion services available. But that changed on December 15th. Our gender reporter, Victoria Rossi, discovered that Planned Parenthood quietly began offering what are called medication abortions, which are abortions using pills rather than a surgical procedure. And they have to be very careful because there are, obviously these Texas laws in place that are more stringent. And even though the FDA approves the use of medication for up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, Texas recently passed a state law that limits it to 7 weeks. And so Planned Parenthood is only providing medication abortions to people within the state definition of legality. And people can only access the services on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for now. So even with the expanded services, they're still quite limited in El Paso.
Well, last week we talked about the increase in seizures of dangerous opioids at the border. And this week we get a little bit more detail in terms of how much of an increase that's really been.
Yeah, so last week we talked about seizures at ports of entry primarily, where we'd seen this big spike in the first 2 weeks of December. Renee Klajic, our reporter who's been covering the fentanyl issue, spoke recently with the Drug Enforcement Administration in El Paso, and that office oversees El Paso and all of New Mexico. And so basically in that region between 2020 and 2021, the two fiscal years, the amount of fentanyl seized by the DEA increased by sixfold. They went from 42 kilograms of fentanyl in fiscal year 2020, and that went up to 300 kilograms last year. And it's important to remember that just a tiny dose of fentanyl can be fatal to people. And in our region, we've seen this huge growth in overdose deaths in opioids, primarily driven by fentanyl. So it's a huge issue. We're facing lots of addiction issues in our communities that are very difficult to address. And this is a problem that's definitely going to be with us well into 2022, if not longer.
Mm-hmm. We recently talked about El Paso Independent School District filling its superintendent role with the first woman to hold the job. And now it's time to focus on Socorro Independent School District.
And for folks who don't know the El Paso education scene, Socorro is the second largest district in El Paso County behind the El Paso School District. They're also looking for a superintendent. And one of the things that Molly Smith, our education reporter, noted was that the last time Socorro hired a superintendent back in 2011, they actually did something unusual. They identified three finalists, brought them in for the community to meet. The community got some input, and then they eventually selected a new superintendent. This year, Socorro is saying they're not going to do that again. They're going to go back to what has become sort of the routine practice of school districts in Texas, which is they're going to identify one finalist and then vote to approve the contract 21 days later. So it's one step of community input taken away. The search consultant they hired said basically that if you identify people publicly who wind up not getting the job, you may see fewer applicants because they don't want to risk letting their current bosses know that they're looking for a job. So it's a difficult issue, but Texas has had this practice for a number of years now where the communities just know the name of one person who applied for the job.
Find these stories and more at elpasomatters.org. Bob, thanks very much for the update and have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, same to you and your listeners. And here's looking to a much brighter 2022.
Bob, my goals are very modest. Simple survival.
That's not an easy thing either. It's not so simple.
Maybe be a loftier goal than I thought. Let's hope not.